If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is a Hosehead production.
Jeffrey Dahmer soaked in blood. The Unabomber blowing up. Waco, Texas, and Heaven's Gates. Aliens modified men from apes. JFK shot in the head by the CIA. Bigfoot and the Mothman. Son of Sam talking to dogs again. Witches, ghosts, and goblins. Mysterious noise and hauntings. Dark arts in the skull and bones. Most celebrities are probably cloned. So if you're feeling all alone, crack a beer and get stoned. I welcome you to the podcast Strange Brew. We're here to entertain you. We're here to entertain you.
It's about to get strange.
Welcome, everybody, back to the show. Welcome. I am one of your hosts, Tom Kett. Oh, yeah, fuck.
You dummy. What do you call an anorexic girl with a yeast infection?
What?
A quarter pounder with cheese.
That is disgusting. Here, I got one for you. If I can get there.
Oh, fuck.
Welcome, everybody, back to the show. I am one of your hosts, Tom Kett, a.k.a. Tom Thompson, the Raptilian. You can find my music on all music platforms. There are some songs with me and Billy himself called Tom Kett and Kirby, so go check that shit out. And
my name is Billy.
His name is Billy. We are a strange show. I feel like I went a little hard on the beaver on the eugenics episode. And I just wanted to say this for the people that maybe got offended or whatever, right? Like, because who knows? Because people want to get offended about everything nowadays. That my anger and my displease of the things that are happening in the world is aimed at the government. It is not the people's fault, no matter where you come from, even the people that are in control or, you know what I mean? Like, there's people in control, but the people being manipulated by those in control, it's not their fault. So, like, I definitely went, like, a little hard on the whole idea of what was going on and calling out certain factions of people. But at the end of the day, it's because I truly care. I do care about the way the world is going, and I want to try to inform people as much as possible, but I want to actually, like, step away, not cause any division. We don't need any more division. of people.
I want to go re-listen to that now. I didn't think it was that bad.
No, I don't. It's not that bad. But I know that there's people out there that might get offended by what I said about the indigenous or something like that, where I just said that.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that, where I'm like,
good chance.
Yeah, there's definitely people that got offended. But it comes from a place of like, I actually have studied and looked into a lot of the things in history and all that stuff. So I do have a firm opinion on the things that have happened and will happen and all that stuff, right? So I wanted to kind of start this episode. This is definitely a fun, more kind of lighthearted episode. We're going to be diving into some deep stuff. But I just wanted to say that, like, I come from a place where I care about the future of my country and the children that are here. We're seeing what's happening in the UK is getting extremely bad. It's almost like mixing two people together doesn't go really well that have very different beliefs. I had someone put it really well, where they're like, it's like there is a gang inside of a club. Then there's a gang outside of a club, and they've been warring at each other for years. There's a lot of history of this. And then the bouncer or the people running the club were like, I want to take the money anyway. I want the money. So they open the door, and then shooting starts going off and stabbings and all sorts of violence. And then they're like, oh, whoops. You know, realistically, because Christians and Muslims don't really get along. And now we're seeing that, yes, when you try to bring too many people in that don't assimilate, and in a lot of Muslim culture, they don't want that. They want Sharia law, and then they leave their country. So it's all these things. Now there's this boiling happening where people are very angry and there's a lot of division and fighting going on. And I want to attempt to bring people a show that is lighthearted and questioning everything and having fun with even these really dark, disturbing topics like we're going to get into in the future. But I just wanted to kind of say that I don't want any more division. We need to come together as humans, the one race of humanity, or we're all done for. So.
My dad would like to know if he can watch this live.
It's on Twitch right now, so yes. If he would like, before you're...
It is on Twitch.
Strange Brew TTV, everybody.
Let him figure it out.
So this is a pretty interesting case. You know, there's a couple of subjects that we're going to be diving into pretty soon that will be fairly interesting. No more division. I'm good at math. I'm not good at math. That's funny. I dig that. But I really just think that people need to come together. And my anger actually comes from a place of love, that I am worried and concerned about the state of the world and the future. And I think more people should be if they're not by now. But this is something different. I'm trying to mix up the, you know, mix up the drink.
The seriousness.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? All the time, right? Yeah. Me and Aaron just did a cryptid episode about a beast, the Beast of Blattenborough. So it was fun. I'm trying to mix things in and not be so like conspiracy. Like, we're going to throw in some serial killers. We're going to sprinkle in some aliens. We got a good recipe going on. We're going to stir it all up, and then it becomes soup, you know?
Strange Brew soup.
Yes.
Sounds fucking disgusting.
What do you think it's made of?
A lot of STDs.
Wouldn't say that. Maybe on your end, but...
I'm just...
I don't know about that. Okay. Give me a second. I have to bring up my info.
What are we doing, though?
We're doing the Falcon Lake UFO incident. There we go. This one's pretty interesting. It actually is. It is, according to this, among the thousands of UFO-related cases that have been reported over the years, the Falcon Lake UFO encounter occupies a huge, unique place in paranormal history, and it happened in Canada, just outside of good old Winnipeg.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's...
What was it, Steinbeck?
No, Falcon Lake. You can, if you want to bring it up on a map, you can, and we can share.
I do want to do that.
But yeah, me and Billy haven't dived into some UFOs in a while, and I like to kind of mix it up and do a bunch of different topics. So yeah, we are back with UFOs.
Falcon Lake, Manitoba.
I hear one now.
UFO! UFO!
Oh, dude, stop yelling. You're breaking up. I didn't catch that last part.
Close encounter! Close encounter!
Close encounter? What kind? First? Second?
They're after me!
Third kind already. You better run, man. I think the fourth kind is a butt thing.
Empathy, Sam! Empathy!
So Falcon Lake looks like it's roughly... So it's actually east of... Can I share my screen?
Yeah, you can.
How do I do that?
underneath.
Present.
Yes.
I can present. I can share my screen. Cool.
Yes.
I could have done this forever.
Yes, now you can. Now that you have the opportunity, you can bring up whatever you want.
Cool. You see it?
Yep. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so here we are. Here's Winnipeg. And then we got about, I don't know, that's probably roughly about maybe a 3 hour, 4 hour drive east.
Yeah.
And then this is where all the Mennonites are.
Ah, that's where you came from.
That's where me family is.
Stying back.
That was a dry community for so long. They just got their first Boston Pizza like a couple years back. Wow. But they never had Boston any liquor stores, pizza. No bars that could serve anything.
Yeah, so yeah, it's a pretty unique UFO encounter. It is a really well documented one. Enough where literally they have a coin. Isn't that cool? It glows in the dark like the
what kind of coin? That's a $20 coin?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
Where do we get those?
I would love to have this. It's for everybody that listening. It's a sweet UFO, and it's a can of $20, 2018, and it's a guy seeing a UFO, and then I guess at nighttime or when it's dark, the UFO shines onto him.
It's like the shape of a guitar pick. It's not even like a
I kind of want to buy like one. It's probably really expensive at this point. You know, Canada and inflation. Yeah. Inflation.
Here's your $20. You want to buy $20 for $200? Yeah, we gotcha. Isn't that like $2 US? Okay, we're not that bad.
No, I know. We're getting
not,
bad.
It's not that. 20 Canadians, what? Maybe like 14, 13 US? Right around there?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not good at conversions. Yes, this is a pretty interesting case. So while a large majority of UFO incidents are reportedly as strictly aerial sightings, the Falcon encounter is one of a relatively small amount of cases that document an actual physical injuries that result in UFO experiences. And I'm sure there's many more to come. There's a lot of UFO, weird UFO cases. I eventually want to get into this guy that he essentially got... he had a nice sexual encounter with some aliens. It was a fun time. So the incident was reported to have taken place on May 20th, 1967 at Falcon Lake in southeastern Manitoba, Canada. Stephen Michalek. Oh, I hate this because I knew his name. It's a Polish name. Stephen Michalek.
Sure, buddy. Yeah, I'm sure no one's gonna care.
No, I'm gonna.
Good enough.
I'm gonna Google Translate it.
Hey, you need this.
What would you? Would you ever want to get abducted by an alien? Like, how? Like, would you want to see it, or are you too scared?
No, I'd get abducted. Like, I'd like to be brought back. Like with like some reassurance. Like they take you, they're gonna be like, you're only here for a couple hours. Let's do your thing. We'll bring you back. And I'll be like, if I don't like it, can you zap my memory? And they'll be like, yes. I'll be like, all right.
What about the anal probe? Would you do that?
That's what I said. If I don't like it, zap my memory.
If you don't like it.
If I do like it, let me remember how nice it was.
Okay, here.
Just let me have the choice whether my memory gets zapped. That's all I ask of being abducted.
Macaulay.
Ah, I knew it. Macaulay. God, I said that way wrong. So, Michael Macaulay, a mechanic living in Winnipeg. Let me just... The incident...
The mechanic.
The incident was reported to take place... The incident was reported to have taken place on May 20th, 1967 at Falcon Lake in southeastern Manitoba, Canada. Stephen Michalek, a mechanic living in Winnipeg, Manitoba, has decided to spend his Victoria Day weekend prospecting for silver at White Shell Province Park near Falcon Lake. He was well acquainted with the area, having tried his hand at prospecting several times before that in various parts of White Shell, but he had decided recently, you know, maybe he could find some silver, you know, maybe there's promise for quartz and stuff like that near Falcon Lake.
His mortgage is due tomorrow and he does not have it. I need to figure something out.
Yeah, 100%.
My wife said if I'm late again, she's leaving with the children.
I need my mortgage today. Yeah, pretty wild. So he's like, he's a prospector, right? He's looking for his silver. He's interested. You know, he's done this before. He knows the area well. So he goes near Falcon Lake and maybe there's potential of silver deposits, which would be interesting if you actually like struck gold, so to speak.
Well, people do that with gold fishing all the time. Like almost every lake, like if you really want, you can get a couple bucks of gold out of almost anywhere. You shift long enough.
You know, it's wild.
Huh?
You know how Jasper just burnt down?
Yeah.
conveniently, whoops, none of that. that's for another episode. Check this out.
I know.
Jasper's. So there's a lithium mine. There's a diamond mine. It's a fun time.
Yeah, but here's the thing. At the end of the day, like, do they really? They don't really care about that sort of stuff anymore. Gold's like one of the only lithium, I guess, is pretty valuable. But the diamond mines, like, if
people
that is
still
like a
buy
true
diamonds,
and accurate representation of anything, diamonds aren't fucking worth anything anymore.
They're still worth some stuff. Trust me.
But that's what I mean. Like, realistically, at this point, they can manufacture fake diamonds, yes, call it real diamonds, and carry on their life.
But people, like, there is a way enough to tell. But the lithium, definitely, you know, they got children doing it for free, mm-hmm, in the cobalt mine. So if, like, maybe, you know, that we can get some guys from India to do the ones in Jasper, you know, super cheap.
There you go.
So funny. So obviously equipped with a game plan, Steven traveled to Falcon Lake on May 19th, you know, checked in a motel on the Trans-Canada Highway that evening, eager to begin prospecting the next morning. I just picture a guy, you know, with like suspenders and like kind of, you know, like corduroy pants or something like that. And he's got like a big hat, but it's got like a cut out of it. Like in one of those like old school, you know what, yeah, I mean?
Like, I know, old, like, no.
Think,
like,
can you think sombrero? Of think of Toy Story 2. You know how they have the I'm the prospector. Yeah, it's kind of like a, I guess it is a cowboy hat. There's a different name for it, I think. But he's like the I'm a prospector.
Hat and
he's
de like, la cowboy.
Yeah. I guess back in the day, man, it was a big remember. Thing. It was a big thing to like prospect and want to find gold, you know. Crazy.
A lot of people are still doing it. I see videos like that online all the time.
At roughly 5:30 a.m. on the 20th, Steven left the motel and headed into the north area of the park and began digging by 9 a.m. He had located a vein of quartz near a small stream and continued digging until roughly around 12 noon, at which time he took a lunch break. The place, you know, was peaceful. It was quiet.
Lunch break.
Yeah, you got it. Well, you got to eat your... You got to eat
your sandwich.
Your fish sandwich, yeah. You're eating... What's that disgusting fish that comes in a can? And people like...
Sardines?
Yeah, sardines. He has a sardine sandwich. That's what I figure.
Ew. I've never even heard of someone doing that. Like,
have you
tuna,
ate sardines
sure.
before?
Yeah,
I used to do it as dares.
I've had sardines on pizza.
Ew, man. You're disgusting.
It's not that bad. They're just super salty.
Yeah, well...
Like, I wouldn't eat, yeah, like, straight, yeah, it's a lot of salt.
It's true.
But, like, you put them on, like, pizza or something with, like, a savory taste, I don't mind them. All right.
I wouldn't
go to my way to buy them.
The place, the surroundings is quiet and peaceful and was soon interrupted by the sound of several cackling geese. Can you give me a sound effect, Billy?
I was right in the middle of a swallow, one thing. Cackling geese.
Yes.
Oh God, it's hard to like put your mind in that mind frame and just be like,
it's not bad, man. It's not bad. So, you know, here are these cackling geese. There is evidently, you know, responding to some sort of disturbance nearby. Steven looked up in the sky and observed two cigar shaped objects descending slowly into the woods. Both objects seemed to be glowing with a reddish hue.
Cigar-shaped objects.
Yes.
So, like, the size of a cigar or just giant
cigar
cylinders?
Shapes, cigar-shaped. There's a lot of UFOs that are actually cigar-shaped, like a ton. It's very strange. But then he draws this later.
That is not a cigar.
I know. So I'm like, it looks like you're, for all the auto listeners, it's like your basic two plates on top of each other UFO. You know, like your basic Roswell crash UFO kind of thing.
Oh,
right?
I never even thought about that. Just two deep plates on top of each other as a UFO.
Yeah.
I'm going to go make some.
And then you like put it on a string and you dance in front of a camera and then you got a movie. You got a
how
UFO.
How many times
event.
Have you done that? And that's how Star Wars started.
Pretty much.
True fact.
Yep. So, and they were like glowing reddish hue and they continued to get closer and they took on more like a disc-like shape instead of an oval or elongated. So originally he saw it like a cigar and then as it came down, it, I guess, became more like circular, which is really weird. According to him, I don't know if that's true.
He's looking in the window.
Oh, it is. It's called a prospector's hat in Red Dead Redemption 2. It's 1967. Yeah. So it's a different time.
Hat.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. So there is
very similar to a cowboy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. But then they can put their little gold in the rim and then it weighs their head down and they go stupid. So as Stephen continued to observe,
the lower your hat is, the richer you are.
It's true. As Stephen continued to observe, it's like when they used to have the top hats, and the bigger the top hat you had, the more like high status, classy individual you were. As Stephen continued to observe from a distance, one of these two crafts began to hover mid-flight, while the other one landed on a massive flat rock roughly 160 feet away from his vantage point. It's a trip me out. Like, I would be kind of freaked out to see, like, something like that happen and see, like, a UFO come down, and you're like, what the hell is going on?
150 feet is quite a far random space. Like, that's quite a distance to go just sporadically.
Yeah, there's actually a fair amount of UFO cases within Canada. So the craft had been hovering in the air, abruptly departed westward, disappearing behind a cover of clouds. And then Stephen observed the craft that seemed to change in color from red to gray before it faded from view. As Stephen redirected his attention to the craft that had landed just a small distance away, he noticed its color also changed from glowing red to appear to be a grayish color, recounted by Stephen as looking somewhat of hot stainless steel. Stephen had been wearing protective goggles to... Oh, he did. Just wait. You'll find out what happened to him.
I'm gonna touch it.
Stephen had been wearing protective goggles to shield his eye from the rock fragments while digging, and they also proved to be an instrument in protecting his eyes from the intense light that emanated from various openings on the craft. Very, very strange indeed. So Stephen estimated that the object to be roughly 50 feet in diameter, with a domed top and several apertures through which a brilliant purple light emanated. The craft had no external markings to indicate that it was a property of any particular commercial or military entity. Because I find
It didn't have sponsorship. It was just the beginner crafter.
So if
didn't have all the Red Bull stickers.
Just like a NASCAR. It's like, here's
that's all I was thinking of.
It's got like an APAC logo on it, or like a Raytheon.
The Subway.
Brought to you by Raytheon and BlackRock. You know what I mean? So yes, Subway. Subway, eat not so fresh, especially nowadays.
Dude, it's weird. Actually, there's something funny. Subway down in Ontario, garbage. Absolutely horrendous.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Like I couldn't eat it. And it's run by a lot of
down here's super fresh. Super fresh, like veggies down here. It's super nice.
Had Stephen ever taken acid? Like it is the 60s, so you never know, you know?
Good chance.
So that's good to know that you have better very Subways. Good just wait. Just wait till they all migrate up there, and then you'll have equally as bad Subways.
Well, they already are. Like, they're starting anyway. It's not like crazy, but...
We're talking about geese, everybody, okay? Geese run Subways in Canada, if you didn't know. And then beavers run Burger Kings. You know, so I got to leave it to the beaver to fuck up your food. He also noticed waves of warm air occupied by sulfur-like smell coming from the craft. And then Hillary Clinton walked out. Just kidding. He was able to sketch the object from his position after 15 minutes. So this is, I think, what he sketched. Pretty trippy that he was able to do this. He had all of his stuff. Here, I'll play a little clip of him talking about it.
The size, you know, was amazing. And here they coming down. With speed, I just can't describe. Amazing speed. I hear shh, and I hear a high pitch whistle of running equipment. Pumps on high speed. When the thing landed, it was of gray pink color. It's stainless steel and it was pink hot. And I can feel the breeze on my face that thing is hot outside. There was my notebook, there was my pencil, so I sketched this thing.
Why do Polish people sound Italian to me?
It's so funny. That sounds like a fucking Mexican.
I got no.
And that's where all the people from Mexico for the generations, they all went to Steinbach, Manitoba for all like the German Mennonites.
Yeah, yeah.
That were living in Mexico for like five, six generations. They all went to Steinbach, which is like 40 minutes away from there. Not a lot of Polish, man. They really didn't. There's really not much Polish community in Canada at all.
There actually is, like, a fairly big one now.
Of course there's some. Like, you're going to have everything here by now, but, like, there's comparably to any other culture, like, it's one of the lowest.
Well, because Poland has actually a pretty decent country, and they're pretty strict on immigration, and they, like, they, if you,
they
see,
like, staying.
If you see the difference between Poland and a lot of the other European countries, it's, like, literally night and day. And I'm not meaning skin color. I'm just kidding.
Like, I think I've met two Polish people in my life total, ever.
My boss is Polish. So, like, and I...
That's what I mean. You got one.
The kid, that one of the kids that work there is... I've met more Polish people in the last year than any other time. This is Billy's drawing of the UFO encounter.
I did my best. I did all right. So, I didn't do bad, did I?
Oh, man. I just, I don't, I'm sure this came up.
Pants on him.
Yeah, this came up when I looked up this episode and I was like, who the fuck drew that shit? It looks really bad for everybody listening. It looks like an 8-year-old autistic kid drew it. But actually, you probably would have drawn it a little better because they're like, they're quick as a whip.
Honestly, is better than I can draw. That's more straight lines than I can do.
Billy cannot draw.
He at least used a ruler.
Do you draw stick people like my brother?
I do.
It's so funny. It's so funny because I always have been good at drawing and, like, more artistic things and music and all that stuff. I'm more right brain.
I know. That's why you're so fucking dumb.
Yeah. And it's true. I'm a retard. But
classy one.
Classy, yes. Well, I'm a retard. So far, I just watched Borat. So we're at the off topic. We're at the antique store, and I was like, "Very nice." I was like, "Show me your treasures, Gypsy." So funny. It's like, look at all the shit. And it's cool. I found Nazi memorabilia at the Cambridge antique store.
Yo, that is sick. What? Which one was that?
In Cambridge. I was like, there.
No, but where is the antique store in Cambridge?
It's the only. It's like the super center antique store. It was fucking cool, bro. I was like, I've never seen that. I've been to antique stores.
Didn't answer my question.
There's only one.
Where?
In Cambridge, near downtown. Cambridge is a city in Ontario, for everybody that doesn't know. It's a pretty shitty city, but it's like a small little city, but
I'm gonna tell Danny to go there and go get me some shit.
Like, dude, it's so cool. They had a little Hitler statue. Not saying Hitler's cool, but it's cool to see, like, that's like history. So, like, to see some of those things that you're, you're not allowed to, like, have or talk about or see. It's like cool. They had, like, little emblems. They had, like, a shield. They had one of, like, the Third Reich, like, eagle, like, pendants and stuff. There was some cool stuff. And I was like, oh, I want to buy something. Everything was pretty expensive. And
it was probably pricey. You know, it's Nazi memorabilia.
I've never seen that before. I've been to a couple antique stores.
I haven't either.
I thought that was so
cool. That's actually hilarious, though. Like, you make me want to go into an antique store and just go, very nice.
Very nice. It was so funny. Chelsea's like, shut the fuck up. Oh, so funny. I had another thing I was talking about. I don't even remember now. God, that's going to bother me. Who runs Tim Hortons in Canada? We said the Beavers run Burger King. Who runs?
Who runs Tim Hortons?
Yeah.
Oh, no, can't say that.
Gotta be a Canadian animal. The moose.
Don't worry. It was going to be a lot smaller than a moose.
Aren't the Pajits are an animal, right? I was gonna say something else. I went so off topic with, man, that shit, like, impressed me. I was like, that is so cool, man. And I'm sure I posted it, especially on, like, Facebook. People were like, man, this kid is a Nazi. It's like, I don't like either side. I think we were lied to, but I don't think that they were the good guys. I think that they, like, everyone was killing their own people for to justify Israel. So that's my opinion. He also, the waves of warm air accompanied by the sulfur smell, he drew it. After 15 minutes, he knows that the doorway this portal on the side of the craft opened, taking as many details of the scene as possible. Stephen anxiously waited to see if anything would emerge from the craft. So he waited. After waiting in vain for about a half an hour, Stephen decided to carefully approach the object. This guy's got balls of steel. I would have been like, all right, I've seen enough. I'm going to leave. It's like eventually when we get into what's his name? That other famous UFO case. I saw him once. It's going to bug me. I can see his name. I'll think of it in a sec. And so he didn't care. He's like, oh, maybe guessing it was some sort of craft from an experiment.
Not so much balls of steel, but just pure, like, well, okay, maybe balls. I was thinking, like, just pure idiocy, where like just you just don't know. You're like, wonder what that is.
I know. Well, I guess, but like,
it. It's like, do your instincts not kick in at all? Like, that is crazy. Never seen anything like that before. Let's not touch it.
Yeah, so weird. So it is weird. Travis Walton, who's who I'm thinking of. Travis Walton, like him and his friends were logging. I want to talk about this at some point. Very famous okay. UFO case. I saw him in Brantford when they were doing a UFO conference. And then it was cool. He walked by. I was like, whoa, that's Travis Walton, man. And he had where they were out, like, I think they were like doing lumber work, and then he walked up to the craft, and then it took him, and then all the cops thought that his friends murdered him. And they move. Yeah, there's a movie about it that I want to watch eventually. And it's we'll get into him at some point. But same kind of thing where he just walked towards it, like almost mesmerized by it. And then his friend took him. And his friends are like,
and who knows? Maybe they got like a calling like the mermaids do. Like it's just
fire
like
in the sky.
Hypnotizing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, come here. And it's like, okay.
Well, probably they think that they do that with your mind, that they're able to manipulate you. Because we'll be going deep down a rabbit hole at some point, more about UFOs and abductions. Me and Aaron did a whole deep dive, but we'll be getting even deeper into the butt of the probe. Where the probe's going, we're like halfway. We're gonna go real. We're gonna go right into the prostate. Mm. Eventually, it's gonna get that deep.
Have you had that yet?
Oh yeah, man! I've been waiting.
You're coming up there, aren't you? You're coming up.
Waiting.
You only
for
got
it.
A couple of years.
They better be coming, man. After waiting,
no, you only have a couple of years till you got to get that checked out.
Oh no, it's fine.
When is it? 35?
I don't know. I remember asking because my friend said he got it done when he was 18, and I was like, "That doesn't sound right." I asked my doctor about it, and he said that.
I feel like your friend just asked for it.
Yeah, I know. He's like,
"Doc, while I'm here, a quick question. Do you just? I'm super worried."
That's the only reason we had the same. We had the same doctor, and he was a really tall guy, and he had very long fingers, like Billy kind of thing. And he said that he's like, it just felt so weird. These long, the doctor. He's not a doctor anymore. So Dr. Villar's really long fingers, and then
I think that doctor might have did some malpractice.
I know, because I'm like, and then I was like, when am I supposed to be getting that done or whatever, and they're like 40.
Yeah, I think it's 35 40. Yeah.
So yeah, he's waiting, he carefully approaches the object. He's like, what the hell is going on with this? I'm guessing the aircraft could be maybe an experiment by the U.S. military. He slowly approached it, opened the door. Heard a couple of human-like voices speaking in an indistinguishable language, which makes me think that this was a craft of maybe a Russian craft or some sort of, because I don't know. I do think that I feel like 60 to 70% of the crafts that people have seen are military experiments. I'm starting to believe that more and more, that they have more technology than obviously we've known about. The Nazis were building, the Nazi Bell and UFOs and all sorts of weird shit that we'll eventually talk about because it is so crazy. So I feel like that's possible. He attempted.
Well, you know what's weird? Do you take a breath ever? No, I'm like waiting really. For you to breathe. So I got you really. In the middle. You know what you really haven't like gotten into at all? And honestly, I ignored pretty much for the most part was
Stella
when COVID first hit, and yeah, that whole news article from the US came out that they're like, oh yeah, by the way, aliens we're pretty sure are real.
Yeah, yeah.
We got proof, and then everyone just kind of ignored it. But like
the Pope saying there's UFOs now.
I never really looked into like what they were saying though. Did you ever?
Yeah. So
I just kind of ignored that whole thing. I just went, oh yeah.
Me and Aaron did like a kind of rant episode about it. You guys can check it out. It was something about is aliens real or fake or whatever. I can't remember what I titled it. But we talked about this guy. I think his name was Stephen Grush. I think it's Grush. I know his last name is Grush. And he was a whistleblower that talked about essentially that they have craft. They know they have craft. They know that they don't know where it comes from. And then they also released those video footage from some of the fighter jets that caught the UFOs on camera on their like radar and stuff. So they're releasing it slowly because they want control of the narrative. So as UFO disclosure is happening with people like Stephen Greer, who knows if he's controlled opposition or whatever. Stephen Greer is the head of the Disclosure Project. He's an interesting cat. I do like him. He used to be a doctor, like seems like all UFO and conspiracy guys. Like I'm reading a book right now called, and we'll be bringing it up when eventually we do the Protocol Elders of Zion. And it's called Illuminati, the cult that hijacked the world. It's written by a Jewish guy that is very much against the Zionist agenda. So far, it's pretty good. And he talks about how obviously they're manipulating. They got to be ahead of the curve, and they got to make sure that they are ahead and in control of what is going on, rather than letting other people dictate the information flow. Because they always have to be in control.
Here's the other angle to that is, if they said something's real and we don't believe them, it's actually not. It's actually the one thing that's not real. And now that they said it, now we're like,
I know. Hey, and that's where it gets so confusing.
Are you on team government?
I know. Cause now that's what I'm saying. Cause now there's people that think like Project Bluebeam is something that was leaked by like intelligence agencies. Eventually we will talk about it on the show. Cause we did HARP and we've done chemtrails, and I want to lead it up to that of them faking the UFO invasion. I know your tooth is killing you, isn't it?
Buddy, I just got my fucking wisdom tooth out 2 days ago, and they're like, don't drink alcohol. And I'm like, I get fucked.
Shouldn't have done that, man. That's a lie. Getting your wisdom teeth out is not a good thing. It actually affects your pineal gland.
It wasn't just for that. I got it out because it was fucking, like, I chipped it in half.
Good luck sleeping. Like a bitch. Good luck sleeping. It's connected to your pineal gland, which is connected to actually your nervous system, which connects to your heart and your lungs.
Okay, I'm not. Well, I've slept fine since.
I know. They kept trying to tell me to get my wisdom teeth taken out. And I was like, isn't that not good? And they didn't even know how to answer me. And I was like telling them how it's like related to your nervous system and all this stuff. And I was like, isn't it a $3 billion industry? I didn't know what to say.
To take out your wisdom. You mean dentistry?
Yeah. Wisdom teeth, like getting your wisdom teeth pulled, essentially accumulates $3 billion for the dental industry a year. Yeah. Pretty crazy. So they always want to make money. Like,
they're making a lot more than that.
Yeah, probably now at some point.
I was begging them to fucking take it out.
Take it out. Shove that shit in my mouth.
He wanted to do a root canal, and I'm like, I don't want to pay for it. I don't need it.
Yeah, take
it
out. That's the idea of now, because of Project Bluebeam, that people are going to believe that the government is saying there's going to be a false alien invasion. And then if there's a real one, then people are going to be like, it's fake, and then nobody knows what's going on.
It's all confusing.
Yes. So he attempted
You're confused. I'm confused.
This is hilarious. So he attempted to address them in English first, giving them a warm greeting. What do you think he said? He's like talking like with this Polish accent. What are you doing here?
The guy. He came. Hey, come here. Me boys. Buddy boys. I need help shifting the silver.
While voices inside the craft stop speaking, because he's probably like, hey. How are you? Are you giddy? Or something like, who knows? And then they're like, what the fuck was that? Is somebody here?
You want some vodka?
Yeah, you want some vodka? And it's so funny because they're probably just landed there for who knows, maybe checking the craft, if it is a military or Russian craft.
He's fucking Polish. This dude's drunk by noon. I didn't even put that two and two together.
So they gave him no direct response, which is crazy that this guy has enough balls. I'm telling you, it's like, that's pretty crazy. They walked into the craft first of all. And then he was like, hello, is anybody in there? Knock, knock. You guys good in there? So strange. So funny.
Yeah, he's fucking hammered.
Oh, so then he cautiously addressed them in Russian, asking if they speak Russian. It's so funny, because that's what I thought, is that like the first thought I would think is like, who is against the United States and Canada, especially at that time of the Cold War in the 60s, you would think it's a Russian craft. That's the first thought that most people, I think, would have. Met no response. Steven then tried some basic greetings in German, French, Ukrainian, and Italian. This guy is a scholar. Well-versed. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
He's a drunk scholar.
Yeah. It's like he thinks he's speaking like, oh, you there? Just he's pretending.
He's not doing the languages. He's just doing the accent.
Thinking that they're going to respond. During this time, he was able to get a glimpse of some of the interior of the craft through the doorway, and he noticed the walls were roughly 18 to 20 inches thick. That's a thick wall. That's pretty thick. Boy. Yeah, I work with metal, so that's a pretty thick wall. He's looking inside.
Almost 2 feet, man. That's wild.
I know. Crazy. It's a very crazy story, man. So
he was burned. Yeah, he touched it.
We'll get into it. And featured a honeycomb-like.
Why'd you touch it?
Because Why do you touch fire? You know, it's just, you gotta learn from it. You know, I'm like, oh, that's you hot. Don't. I shouldn't touch that.
You should by that age. You should already know not to do that.
Featured a honeycomb-like construction. He also noted what appeared to be some type of control panel, which was a maze-like pattern of several different beams of light arranged in horizontal and diagonal configures. That's weird. It's very strange. After Stephen had attempted the greetings in various languages, the door of the craft abruptly slammed shut with no type of motion similar. Jesus. And the type of motion similar to like a camera shutter, where it's like so fast. Hmm. Then he touched the craft with his gloved hand and noticed it didn't feature any type of joints or welding, because that's like all these things. If you're an intelligent person, you try to look for those things. And it's weird. Like, yeah. I feel like this guy is pretty brave for doing this. I do think, or stupid, you know? What's that Jackass song that they always play? Like, you gotta be, if you're gonna be, if you're gonna be tough, you gotta be dumb. You know, that's
no,
song.
If you're gonna be dumb, you gotta be tough.
Yeah, if you're gonna be dumb, you gotta be tough. You know, because realistically, it's true. So then, so it's so weird. He's feeling all around the craft. He's like, shiny, smooth. I like it. You know, but he seemed to, rather be perfectly smooth, polished, and highly reflective surface. Stephen had noticed that his glove had burned subsequently and melted, although he had barely brushed the craft with his hand, which makes me think that like it's maybe primitive technology in my idea of what UFOs in craft would be.
Well, it's anything that's flying through the sky at that speed, when you have that reaction speed versus like wind at all, like it creates heat.
Yeah, that's true.
Go touch an airplane 2 seconds after it lands. Be pretty fucking hot.
It's true. If it doesn't explode first, they're making people scared to go in the sky now. You know, all these planes.
Dude, honestly though, like every airplane ride I've ever been on, there was one point in time where I'm like, yeah, I'm going to die.
Yeah, everyone has that fear. You're flying how fast in the sky?
Just like one good experience where I'm like, that was easy. I'm like, this is a little high up for me.
It is sketchy.
I'm just in a seat.
When I was when we went to Cuba when I was 19, I had my crazy shadow people experience afterwards. I swear I saw a UFO in the window. Like someone just like a light flying, and somebody else noticed it, and then it just went away. And I was like, weird. Somebody said on the chat, CIA slipped him some acid because he was a spy. That's happened. So we know this, right? There's been experiences where people have taken acid. People think Barney and Betty Hill maybe were under some sort of psychedelic experience, and then they definitely were frightened by it. So yeah, it's pretty crazy. And then, yeah, so he noticed that he got burned. It was only like a split second.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that American Family Insurance agents can help build a customized renter's policy so you can protect stuff like this, or this, or even this. Case in point. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
The craft suddenly changed position, which Stephen directly in front of some type of exhaust vent that appeared grid-like in appearance, suddenly blasted extremely hot air shot from the vent. Stephen's shirt and undershirt set it on fire, and he frantically removed his shirt, but he did not escape after his skin was burnt from the blast. Burned or burnt, Billy?
It depends on what sentence
it says burned.
I know, but it depends on if it was like it was burned or he was burnt.
Look at that shit.
He was burnt or he did burn.
Check that out. Look at that. You can see the burn marks on his stomach.
That just looks like, that doesn't look like burn marks. That looks like fucking, it looks like a line of tic-tac-toe. Like, not tic-tac-toe. Connect the dots.
Yeah, that's.
I bet there's numbers there. I bet if you took a Sharpie, you could do a little picture. Yeah, this guy looks like a drunk.
Kind of. He looks what I think an old Polish man would look like, not going to lie. So the craft then abruptly then ascended. It left. It flew away. Woo! And into the clouds, Stephen felt a rush of air as it accelerated. He later discovered burn marks on his chest, the exact same grid-like shape as the exhaust vent. That is pretty weird.
Those are very small exhaust holes.
Someone in the chat said
my car has a bigger one.
I had a trip like that at a dead show in the 90s, and I fell into a bonfire. Well, maybe that's what this guy experienced, right? So crazy. So it's so weird. And who knows, right? But that's pretty compelling to me. It is pretty weird. And why would you burn yourself like that? And it is like a grid pattern. He just fell into what's that called? Like a cooking grill or something. And then was like, here's UFO.
Those more look like the size of cigarette burns. Yeah, it looks like a bunch of cigar burns specifically.
I think his dad is haunting him from the grave, burning him on his stomach with cigars.
No, his kid finally had enough. He's like, I'm stronger than you now, motherfucker.
Time to fight. What a different time. We don't live in that time anymore. Where it's just like, you know, your dad beats you, and then eventually one day you just get strong enough.
You get to beat him.
So funny.
It's like in almost every movie that's from the 90s. It's like, I fought back.
Yeah, there's Freddy versus Nightmare on Elm Street 6. Freddy's dead or whatever. His dad's Alice Cooper and beats him, and showing like when he's like a teenager, and then one day Freddy just grabs the belt and then starts whipping his dad and shit. It's a weird movie. Once the incident had passed, Stephen returned to the spot where he had left his belongings and attempted to gather his senses. The air carried a heavy smell similar to burnt electrical wire, along with the smell like of sulfur. He looked down at his compass and noticed that the needle was spinning erratically. But after a few minutes had passed, it eventually became still again. Stephen started feeling very nauseous and also began suffering a severe headache. He headed back to the site where the craft had landed and noticed a completely smooth circular patch of land, no stones or twigs. But around the perimeter of the circle was a pile of accumulated debris such as dirt, leaves, and pine needles. He broke out in a cold sweat and became increasingly nauseous to the point where he vomited. Stephen decided to gather his things and head back to the motel, vomiting several times on the way back.
Stephen tried crystal meth.
Yeah. And then he did this drawing.
And then he's like, this is what I look like walking back to the hotel.
Yeah. That's so funny. This is a bizarre case, and it's cool that it happened in Canada.
I want those fucking coins.
You should look up how much that is. Look up Falcon Lake coins, how much.
Falcon.
Very nice. Show me your trousers, Gypsy.
$20 coins.
Man, I can't get over that. That shit was funny rewatching that movie. I'm like, classic, man. Very nice. Show me your treasures, Gypsy. She's like in the movie. She's like, I'm born and raised mid. How much? I knew they're expensive. Shit. I knew they're expensive.
Take a guess.
I don't know. $350.
Ready?
Yeah.
Because I know how to do this now.
Okay. Oh yeah, you're gonna share.
Ready?
Yeah. Share the screen, sir.
See it?
Holy shit. $999.95. Why would you just make it $1,000?
For a $20 fucking coin. Value.
Canadian coin and currency.
It's not even a coin, though. Like, look, like, what is this?
But if you bought it, it's pure silver.
Oh, that makes sense. It comes with a case.
It's pure silver, but silver used to be way cheaper. Oh, and then they got
got Elizabeth on the back.
That bitch is rotten in hell.
Like, those are fucking kind of pretty fucking cool.
It's cool. Not for $1,000, though.
Yeah, that's wild. That is a wild price for that.
For a $20 coin. And it's crazy because you go to, like, antique stores and they'll have, like, even Chelsea was like, we're looking at pennies that were a cent at one point, and now it's, like, $5 for a penny.
Well, it's, coin collecting at that point, too, right? I feel
I'm so pissed. Does it come with a bottle of vodka?
I had this weird jar. It wasn't mine. It was my little brother's, but because it was my little brother, I consider it mine. He had this jar. It was like, I swear to God, it stood maybe about 2.5 feet tall, and it had a good diameter on it. And it was this giant, like, mimic bottle, but it was hollow. And it was like for a piggy bank, for a massive piggy bank. He had that thing to the brim filled with pennies. Like, yeah, that was easily like $800 worth of pennies in there. Just between that, like, there had to have been so many that were actually worth money.
Did he exchange it yet?
Oh yeah, no, that was all done like years and years ago. But like, it was damn near $800 of pennies, which is a wild amount of pennies.
I want a Jewish piggy bank.
That's 80,000 pennies.
Oh, that's just the Federal Reserve. Bing-zing.
Oh, get fucked.
Steven sought to help from Constable of. I feel like I could be a stand-up comedian. I don't know how to write jokes, but I do them on spot. Someone told me that I was funnier than Sam Tripley, and I don't mind Sam Tripley. He's actually a pretty outspoken, interesting dude. But it's funny that I'm like, I don't know. I think you could do it too, and that's why I've always said that we should have done improv while you were here, because I feel like we could have pulled it off.
Improv would be fun.
That would be so fun.
There's a fair to good chance I'm going to be moving back eventually. Yeah. I'm probably not going to settle down my life down here.
We
but
should do
nice
an improv class. I think it'd be so fucking funny. It'd be great for the show,
too.
That
would be funny.
Let's film it. So Steven sought to help from a constable of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. You know how corrupt they are. They're like, you didn't see shit. Shut the fuck up. Let me introduce you to my friend. His name is Robert Picton. Go to his farm and we'll make you disappear. So who happened to be driving by. So he waved him down, I guess. He's driving by on his horse. He's like Dudley Do-Right looking fuck.
Did they call it driving when it was a horse?
Well, he's probably in a car in the 60s. But ultimately unsuccessful, the officer refused to help. Of course he did. He's like, you're fucking crazy, man. He's like, I got burned by a UFO. Oh, my stomach. And he's like lifting up
his
shirt.
That was probably the best sound effect I've ever heard you do is that horse clamping. That could have been recorded. That was really fucking good.
You know, it's funny. I remember, so funny how off topic we get on this show. But you know when, what's that called? That Monty Python movie, The Holy Grail. They use the coconuts. You think that they're riding horses, and then he comes over. That's such a good movie.
Yeah.
So pretty weird. The RCMP refused to actually do his job and help somebody after suspecting that he had been intoxicated. Okay. But bing. Well, I don't like the RCMP, man. They are helping Trudeau cover up so much corruption. It's not.
It's people. It's not them as a whole. The RCMP are way better. Go. You want to get mad at someone? Go get mad at the fucking OPP.
They're all corrupt, man. They're bootlickers.
The RCMP, at least, every time I get pulled over by an RCMP, like, they're usually like, here's your warning, carry on.
It's because they have better shit to do, make money from beating protesters
from 3 years ago.
Yeah, I know. Like, realistically, I think they're all in on it and they're hiding the corruption. And if they would actually do their job, they're like, well, what do we do about the treasonous politicians? It's like, you are the only people in this country that actually have the power to arrest politicians. And you choose not to do it because you're licking the boot of the government while taking a paycheck.
Actually, I paid for my pool. I'm going to give a quick piece of advice. And only people that actually listen to this podcast for 50 minutes here are able to reap the rewards of this. I found this out by accident. And I swear to God, I think I'm one of the only people that know it. If you move provinces within Canada and your traffic violations are in different provinces, those are not legally enforceable province to province. So when you go back, like I said, when I went back to Ontario, I kept my New Brunswick plates. I'm going to incriminate myself like crazy here. But I racked up roughly about a $3,000-$4,000 bill just driving on the 407. And it's vanished. It's gone because they can't bill it because they have no jurisdiction province to province. So you can get in trouble in one province, move to another, and you're just clear. I don't know if the States works that way, but like Canada does, and it's super cool. So if you get a parking ticket in a province that you don't live in, fog it.
So after returning again to the hotel, Stephen took a bus back to Winnipeg where he met his son.
Grabbing a beer.
Go grab a beer, you queer.
I'm right here.
I love how his trailer looks like a 1980s grandma.
See how quick that was?
Yes. I'm drinking a Stella. Okay. I have some Canadian. I haven't drank beer, but we had a bunch from the cottage, so I'm like, I'm going to drink this up. It'll be good for the show. I don't drink beer often. It's usually like some very strong scotch on the show. It's like never a good idea. I got to bring that back, Strange Brew. Where he met his son, he took him to the hospital. Stephen was tested for radiation poisoning, but all tests came back within a normal range. So like that would be something that'd be like, well, that's weird. Over the next 7 days, he continued to battle nausea and headaches, which is weird, and lost a total of 22 pounds over the course of a week. That is weird. It is weird that he got black, because if you were to fall in a fire, something happened, you got burned somehow by something just like innocuous, right? Something like that would have, it wouldn't make sense for him to be like nauseous as much as he is. It is kind of strange, and feeling sick and all the stuff that he experienced. He eventually regained his weight and slowly came back to decent health, but they determined to investigate the site of the encounter to see if they could maybe find out more details of what he experienced. Stephen enlisted the help of the Canadian military, who assembled a team of investigators, accompanied him to the site on July 2nd, 1967. It's like, we are here. I can't do a Canadian accent, which is so weird because I'm Canadian.
You are doing one just when you talk. It's all good. Everyone else can hear.
We are going to investigate this site, eh? How does
an old English dude from a fucking black and white movie.
How do they sound out east? Inbred?
Well, it's a little bit more. It's more just the phrasing, because like you know your voice and your accent are carry through.
Buddy, like, everyone knows your team, eh, buddy?
No, they're not. They're not that up north. They're that bad. Yeah. Holy shit! Up north, they sound exactly like South Park depicts Canadians,
hey, buddy.
Like identically. Hey, buddy boy, what you doing there, buddy?
Letterkenny is like technically what people would consider a Canadian accent.
Yeah, and it's Sudbury, so like, yeah, it's pretty close.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, like all the language out here is just like, it's just the terminology that catches you off guard.
Yeah.
So things like how you doing there, bye? Is
how you doing there, bye?
What's up?
Yeah. It's so weird because it is kind of a mix of like all like the Irish and a little bit of like it's sprinkled in with whoever landed there, right? Maybe a little bit of French and it kind of like made.
There's a lot of French.
Yeah. Well, because Canada was founded by French, English, Irish, and Scottish. That's what a Canadian is for everybody that doesn't know. And obviously the indigenous that were here. But that's neither here nor there. But like, it's so funny because then it became kind of this accent. And it's just funny how it happened. And it just morphed into its own thing. Like Boston and like Jersey and all that shit. So they assembled a team, a Canadian team of the military. The investigators took several samples of the soil around the area at the laboratory analysis. The samples were found to contain high levels of radium, posing a possible severely serious health hazard to the area. So there was radiation. Investigators also found a round-shaped clearing, roughly 15 feet in diameter, on the surface of the rock where the craft had actually landed. Moss and dirt had formed a covering. The rock had been blasted, like just like perimeter of and clearing the area. Yeah, it appeared to be a strong rush of air. Well,
or an RPG.
Yeah, it's so weird. So, and he actually like talked to investigators. Here's a clip of one of the journalists that he got in contact with.
At that time, I said, okay, as any newsman would have done, draw it. I gave him a piece of paper. That drawing has become the most famous UFO
piece
of evidence in the world today. He sat down, he drew it in front of me. I hid it. I talked to him. I called doctors. I called police. And I sure as hell didn't want the Winnipeg Free Press getting the story.
I don't want them to have the story. I want the story.
Yeah, the story would be nice.
It's a cool story. Like, we're almost at the end of this because it is, there is more details, but I just want to cover the basics of the story because there's like little details and things. But while some of the team's findings seem to challenge Steven's account, example, the surrounding trees and flora showed little to no signs of disturbances or heat damage, there had been an ongoing suspicion that, that some of the evidence from the site had been, just got a big burp. And so that's why I don't drink beer on this show, because if anyone is a true fan of this podcast and you remember what it was like, you know, we've changed a lot. I was listening to older episodes and I was like, wow, my opinion is kind of different.
Okay. I saw pre-gaming too.
Oh yeah. We used to do that before all we got time. On. Now that was the whole goal. Start
drinking.
That's just crazy. That was the whole goal. We would drink half a 26er or almost a full Mickey of vodka before we started, we would be like, all right.
Before we started,
we would just be taking shots and then we'd be like, all right, we're loose enough. Let's press the record button, which that's such a crazy thing to me that what we used to do on the show.
I can't believe I even told people about it.
I know. I'm like, even the people that used to listen
for no reason. You ready?
I know the people that listened at the beginning. I am very surprised. And then even when Anton became a part of the show for the little time that he did, he was like, oh, I liked you guys because he was like listening. He's like, these guys are actually drunk. Like, these guys are actually like getting drunk and talking. And I'm like, yeah, we're pretty bad.
Yeah, it was bad.
So, and they will be on Patreon. If you want to support the Patreon, you will get a lot of Lost Tapes episodes. I'm saying like probably 50 plus episodes that are now gone and taken off.
Good call.
Yeah. So, but you get to pay for it now to hear the real absurdities that the show used to be. So there was an ongoing suspicion that some of the evidence from the site had been obscured or tampered with in order to maybe silence and you know, stop the suspicion of a paranormal phenomenon. I feel like I need to get that as
phenomenon.
I'll just get that guy or whatever. So Steven's case had
where did
been
that come from?
It's
when did you start doing that?
That was way back. That was when we did the paranormal phenomenon episode, I think, of like and we're doing paranormal powers also on Patreon, and you just started doing it. Because I was like phenomenon, and you're like nominon, and I was like phenomenon, and then we just kept doing it from there. Muppets, man, so stupid. Weird, so stupid. We did a lot of stupid shit. It was it was part of the fun of the show, right? That's why I'm like, I gotta stop being a little too serious. I want to wake people up to the agendas and the stuff that's going on in the world that I'm researching. But at the end of the day, I also want to give people a fun show. So. So Steven, so they try to supposedly hide evidence, maybe. Steven's case had been brought before the Canadian House of Commons in November of 1967, which is pretty wild. He's like, I was abducted. That's why I was wanting to do an accent like that. I was abducted by a UFO. My name is Jed. That's my whole thing. So his name is Jed.
My name is Jed.
But that he's like, I got abducted by a UFO. And he did it in House of Commons is pretty wild. And this was at the time where Pierre Trudeau, I think, just got elected. I'm pretty sure. It was like 1968.
He's not that old. He can't be that. Oh, actually, Pierre Trudeau. Yeah.
I'm gonna look this up. And
good chance.
Because everyone tried to call me out like that. They changed the Canadian flag from the ensign flag, or ensign flag. It depends how you want to pronounce it. 1968 to 1979, and the flag was changed in the 60s. People were like, it wasn't him that changed the flag, and I was like, it was his cabinet. It was the Liberals, and he was in the Liberal Party at the time. And people think that because of his communist connections, that he swayed to push it that way. So people would forget their identity of what it means to be Canadian. And then guess what happened? There was the Immigration Act in the 60s. Pretty funny how that works out. So obviously they brought it to the House of Commons in November 1967, but the cabinet members that raised questions regarding the Falcon Lake incident have been basically stonewalled by the Department of National Defense. And there is a guy that we'll eventually talk about that I do have an episode written about Paul Hellyer. And that's how you pronounce his name. He was the defense minister of Canada for, I think it's 20 years, something like that, a while. And he said that we're in contact with 5 different races of aliens. I got a Canadian minister, the defense minister for like a bunch of years. I have an episode written about his testimonies and stuff like that. It'll be an interesting case.
That's what I kind of find hard to believe. It's just the we're in contact part. Cause like,
Okay, let's face it. At the end of the day, Dutch, if there are other, if there are other alien races, like yeah. which, yeah, it's kind of ignorant to believe you're the only one alive at all. There's got to be something. I can't fathom if they've gotten to the point of being able to contact us, because I know we're not smart enough to get out there and contact them.
Yeah.
They've gotten to that point. I just don't believe that anybody to that level of intelligence would even bother talking to
us. So there's like, a lot of different agendas, right? So
here.
What?
Like at all. Like they'd be like, hey, if we need something from you, like there's no way they need something from us that they couldn't just take.
So the reptilian entities and the archons or the dark energies are, in my opinion, are manipulating this world, right, to gain our energy.
Yeah,
they're not supposed to fuck with a species or a race of beings, an early civilization. That they're not supposed to intervene. I've heard this from numerous people, numerous people, many people. They're not supposed to do that, but they have. So there's like people like the Galactic Federation. People think it's a wild theory. Others believe that it's completely true. There's people that channel these entities or maybe are clairvoyant and that claim that this is factual and that they know stuff that people couldn't know. So that's why people tend to believe these people. There's a woman I'm actually trying to get onto the show. What's her name? Elizabeth, somebody. I was just listening to on another show, and she's a clairvoyant and claims to have contact with the Galactic Federation. Elizabeth April, and she's a very famous. She's a very good looking woman, a very famous UFOologist, clairvoyant type lady, and she claims that she's in contact with the Galactic Federation. That she's here to kind of bring this message out. And that's she's a part of the star seeds and stuff like that. And that these beings are trying to help us, but try not to intervene because you're not supposed to. But there's already been dark entities that have already intervened. And that's why you have people that are like doing the most heinous shit that never get brought to justice. Because according to even stuff that within the Bible, Lucifer was the one that was supposed to rule over this world. He casted Lucifer down to earth. Lucifer ruled over this earth and is still ruling, especially nowadays. You can see it, in my opinion, that there is some sort of dark entity, some sort of Anunnaki being, right? That is some sort of ancient god that is ruling over this world, or gods. And they're just trying to manipulate us at every angle. And then these other people are like, you're not supposed to do that. What are you doing? And then they're trying to help us. And I believe that there's some truth to that.
It just seems so petty. It seems like, I can't fathom we have something that they don't, or like that they can't just be like, yeah, okay.
Well, because if you remember our Anunnaki episode, they were like manipulating our DNA and they made us into what we are, but they gave us some of their DNA. So we actually have the ability, even though we're clouded by things like even alcohol and all. No. So for everybody listening, Bailey's computer did fail, and everybody watching, we tried to edit it out. Someone in the chat was like, God damn, Bailey. Bailey joined us on his phone. For some reason, his laptop was not charging. Something always seems to happen with the show. I don't know what it is. I never seem to win. We never seem to win. But we were bringing it to the end of the show anyway. But everyone was stonewalled by the National Department of Defense. Essentially, like they're like, we don't want to talk about it, especially in the 60s. Like, don't talk about UFOs, man. Right? We're already trying to scare people with the Cuban Missile Crisis. I can't remember what, sometime in the 60s that happened. And all the Russians and all that stuff. We're already trying to scare people into this and that. Like, we don't need the UFO experience to fuck them up. So in 1999, Steven passed away at age 83. The Falcon UFO incidents had been widely accepted as one of the most genuine accounts of a close encounter resulting in physical effects after. While the investigation into the details of Steven's account raised skepticism due to the obviously paranormal claims, nothing has been discovered that it completely discredits the story. There you go. But let's hear it from his son. Let's see what his son thinks about his father.
Sounds good.
He is the kind of fellow that fear is not in his vocabulary. Not that he's a fearless man, but that when he sees something he doesn't understand, he doesn't fear it. He just chooses to understand it. For my dad to fabricate something as large as this would require more than I think he had. More than he has. He's a simple man. He grew up and lived a very straight, hard life.
This was no con man. This was a man who later went down to Mayo. They couldn't figure it out. I couldn't figure it out. The doctor I had there couldn't figure it out. I am not about to be taken by anybody. This guy didn't take me. This guy was legit.
I'm not about to be conned by some con man. You know, and the craziest thing is those burns kept reoccurring somehow.
Can you go back? I was just going to say, can you go back to those burns, please? Because those look way different than the last picture.
No, that's what I'm saying is that is the same. That is the burns that kept reoccurring. I didn't know this, but I was watching a doc about
this. Also, they're reoccurring at like different spots. Because the last time you showed me that, it was all near his bottom, like right abdomen, and now it's in his top left.
So if you, it's also a black and white photo, so you can kind of see it's still there. But these burns That's would reappear
drastically different.
You think he's like burning himself with a cigar or something like that?
Like, if you're nuts, maybe.
His son with his very weird mustache seems to think that his father. It's funny. He's saying his father's like he's a simple man. He wouldn't make this up. You know, he's a dum-dum, you know, whatever his, like, but it's I can't get over the son's mustache. I'm sorry. Like, what is with that? He looked like he had a fight with a razor where it's like, it's just, he's like, oh, fuck, I fucked up. It's so funny. Recently, me and Chelsea were talking about how when the one day, we were talking about this at the cottage, is like, the one day I messed up and I cut my beard. I've been growing out my beard a lot. I'm sculpting it and trying to keep it like a big beard, and I messed up once. So this is like years ago. And so I told her, I was like, don't be alarmed. But I have no beard anymore. And she was like visibly shocked. And even when she was joking with her mom and her sister, she's like, I didn't like it. So like, I'm not gonna shave.
Well, you look like you're 14 without a beard.
I would. I look like a child. I look like a kid, dude. It's so weird. It's the weirdest shit in the world. So obviously, we had some hiccups in this episode. Things happen. Billy's not physically with me. I cannot touch him. We cannot play footsie under the table. So let's.
I made it as good as I could.
I know it's all good. Things happen. Shit happens. And when I had Derek Rance on, he from Dagalon, he also, same thing happened. This computer just like, it's so, he's like, he's building a cabin in a place up north in Ontario. And his computer just got overheated and shut off. He's like, so unprofessional. And he's like, had to join his phone. And I was like, it actually looks clearer. It actually looks more HD. Same with yours. So here we go.
It's time for
Did you know that there is a restaurant in Tokyo, or maybe it's not Tokyo, it's Japan, though, for sure.
Japan.
It's in Japan. It's called, the restaurant's name is the Land of Forgotten Orders, and they only employ waiters with dementia.
Is that real?
That's a real fucking thing. Yes, it is. Look it up. It's hilarious. So you don't know if you're going to actually
get what?
What?
Japan is such a weird place, man. We'll talk about it again.
The Land of Forgotten Orders. Isn't that funny?
Okay, let me look this up. Why?
I think that's what it's called. I am. It was on my laptop.
Wow, there's a book called The Land of Forgotten Girls. I wonder what happened there, Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh, that sounds wildly different than what I was just talking about.
Land of Forgotten Orders? Original. Yeah. Restaurant of Mistaken Orders. Oh my god.
That's what it is. The Restaurant of Mistaken Orders.
A Japan's dementia cafes, forgotten orders are all part of the service. Tokyo, the 85-year-old server was eager to kick off his shift, welcoming his customers in the restaurant with a haughty greeting. Harashimaru. Or welcome. I don't know how to pronounce this. or welcome, but it came time to take their orders, and things got a little complicated. He walked up to the table but forgot his clipboard of order forms, and he gingerly delivered a piece of cake to the wrong table. One customer waited 16 minutes for a cup of water after being seated, but one complainer made a fuss each time. Patrons embraced his mix-up and chuckled along with him. See, and this is what I'm saying. Japan is a weird thing. I would like, we're like, oh, diversity is our strength. I want more Japanese people here, okay? Like, China is made not a good thing. The people are good people. The government is not good. But realistically, like, we're bringing, like, all sorts of different people, but I don't see a ton of Japanese people here because they're such a fun culture. They do the weirdest shit ever, man. They have the weirdest folklore tales. They have the weirdest restaurants. They have the weirdest, like, amusement parks and shit. They have, like, I think in Japan is the one where they have, like, you go to a hotel and every what's that called? People serving you are all robots. They have, like, crazy shit in Japan, man.
Yeah, isn't that cool though? Just like I love the atmosphere. I love the idea of like going like, ah, like, and everyone else just kind of accepting it and going, you know what, like, this is funny, and like, let them have it, and like, that's it's wholesome almost.
Yeah. Someone in the chat says probably so they don't have to pay them.
It's a good chance. So,
like, you forgot about your paycheck. All good. You know, we're not going to give it to you anyway. So obviously a little bit of hiccups in this episode, but we had a lot of fun. This is something a little fun. I have a lot of fun episodes written out for us and kind of ready to go that we can talk about. But there are specific things I want to get into one more episode, really deep into the conspiracy theories that I like, especially considering what I'm reading right now. And then we're going to take a little break, and then I'm going to hit you with a big one from history. So I have a lot of plans for the show. You know, and for everybody listening, it's a lot of hard work on my side to put everything together and make sure the show runs properly and all that stuff. I only asked Billy to be here and to be a personality of the show because he's the best personality.
To show up, tough.
Yeah.
I got to show up, and he tells me a certain time, and then it's not that time. And
I know. We do our best. Aaron's pretty good for kind of researching and stuff, but he's doing First Class Horror, which everyone obviously support that show. We just did our deep dive into Friday 13th, which is a ton of fun. And at some point, right, the plan is to bring Billy into the folds of Class Horror Cast, which would be fun for especially some commentaries, because there's some movies we want to show you that are fucked up just for the purpose of messing you up to be like, what the fuck did I just watch type of shit? Even with us, because when we did,
I can't wait.
Because there's that movie called The Faces of Death. We watched the first one. There's also a second one. And it's some of the clips are real and some of them are fake. So you don't really know. And it would be a perfect one to have you on. So there is a lot of stuff in the works. And obviously, like, I thank everybody for listening. You know, back in the day, we used to tell people to go fuck themselves. It was like, we were crazy. You know, I'd be like, thank you for listening. Go fuck yourself. You know what I mean? Like, the craziest shit we used to do when we were drinking, having fun on the show. But I want everyone to know that we do very much thank the people that watch and listen to the show. And I'm only trying to bring some fun aspects to the show and some truth and some conspiracy and some questioning. And at the end of the day, we do really appreciate anybody that does listen.
Speaking of issues, yo, did all of your TikTok accounts just get banned again?
All of them. And I don't know how to make it.
Bro, I saw that and I was like, why am I messaging so many people that don't have accounts? And I was like, oh, reptilian, strange brute. I was like, what the fuck?
So I've had three big accounts taken down. I have a new one. And I don't understand TikTok anymore. Something's happening because it was a good place to promote the show and stuff like that. And a lot of the things that they were doing to take down the accounts were kind of stupid. Like, they were like the weirdest things of the things we just, like, even jokes or something we made. And it's become this like haven of censorship. And I've started a new one, and we've got videos that have like a couple thousand views, 800 views, whatever. And like, nobody follows it. You know, I have a new one. So if anyone wants to look it up, a Strange Brew podcast, you'll find two that I'm trying to attempt to build up. But they have like 8 followers. I don't know what happened to TikTok, but essentially you can't like do anything. You can't say anything. It's a really hard place to promote any conspiracy stuff. I've made a new account. I got to 1,000, within 2 weeks, and it was taken down. I was on there for 2 days and got an account warning. So they're very much cracking down on people like shut up about stuff. Don't talk. And you know, there's nothing even crazy. I was posting clips of me and Jeremy talking, from Dag, like it's like stuff like that. The recent episode with Derek Rance, stuff like that. And it was like, and they're taking it down. So it's getting absurd. I'm still going to try to attempt that, 'cause TikTok is a good way to get the show out there, but it's fucking, and even X is tough. I don't understand. Like, and I'm like, I don't have time to like cost me. I don't have the money. I work a full-time job while doing the show. So at the same time, I just want people to understand that like we've brought you the show for literally 7 years now at this point, 7-8 years. It seems like forever now. We'll count 6-7 years considering the first year was a tough run.
That's fair.
But it has taken a lot of time and energy to do this show and to keep it going. And I hope to keep it going forever. So it does mean a lot when you do join the Patreon, when you buy merch, when you, you know, give us 5-star ratings and reviews. It means more than you will ever understand. It does. I wish I could give you guys this hat. It's pretty cool.
Give me the hat.
It's pretty cool, man. You can get it done at Lids. I can send you the PNG and stuff, and you can. It's expensive.
Don't want to pay for it.
I know, you know, it's fine. But everybody, you know, I just wanted to say that because it does take a lot to do this show, and you know, the best way to support us, 5-star rating reviews is free. Tell your friends. Podcasts are very much word of mouth. Tell your grandma. She might like it. Who knows, man? Maybe she's. You know, tell.
Dude, there's a couple of grandmas that liked it. A couple of grandmas DM'd me over this, and I was like, "That's cool."
Yeah, there's some people that there's definitely some grandmas that do like the show. But give us 5-star rating reviews. You know, show this to your racist grandma. I'm sure she'll like it. You know, let's just have fun with it. But I never know how to end these. I mean, they're the same way. It's like I never know. There's a hope.
Like this. Take care, guys. Have a great night.
There is a hope that me, Billy, and Aaron will start to do shows, all three of us together consistently. We've not done one together yet after all of this fucking year. It's been like two, almost 3 years with Aaron.
Yes, we have.
With Aaron? No.
Yes, I have.
When?
I've done two with Aaron.
No, you haven't.
They may have been deleted, but yes, I have.
I don't believe you. Name one.
You're fucking high.
Name
Did
one.
Did you ask Aaron? Did you ask him?
Yeah, he's like, I don't think he's ever even met you.
Aaron's a fucking drunk. Okay, so that one night.
Oh, yeah. Okay, two live specials. You're right. Okay, you're right. Two live specials. One is on Patreon, and the other one is on Patreon. Okay, it was two live. It wasn't an episode, okay? It doesn't count.
I did episodes. I count them.
Yeah. There was a Halloween special. The one time Billy joined on his phone, like he is now, looked like he was in jail. And then the second one also joined on his phone, and Aaron proceeded to drink a full bottle of Jack Daniels. So you are not wrong, but we will get there. It's just the time difference. But we have a hope to be able to do this stuff. So
no, there was one night that I was at your house and we did an episode with Aaron.
That's never happened.
Yes.
It didn't. Okay. I not fight? I don't remember that. I wasted.
It happened.
Didn't happen. I think that's in your fantasies, man. You're just like waiting. I think the fans
are. Cheers, guys. Thanks so much for listening.
Yes. I think all the fans are waiting. Have a good night. And hopefully that does pan out and Billy's computer works. Bye. All right. It's already done. It's fine. Jesus Christ.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org. Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.